Well, the man born blind becomes an unlikely Christ figure. Who would have expected this man, who ancient tradition recognizes as Saint Celidonius, to be the herald of any good news or of a gospel message before his healing? He was one of the lowest of society, a beggar, living in total darkness. Maybe not the darkness of the guilt of sin, but darkness nonetheless. Who would have expected to see God revealed through him? What, Celidonius? I didn't even know he had a name. What's he got to do with my life other than as an object of my pity, perhaps? And when we hear this story, thinking about it from the disciples' or even Jesus' perspective, we might even be tempted to pity him. A beggar on the street in the ancient world. Not an easy life by any means. But Jesus says God has a reason for allowing this man to be born blind. Notice I say allowing, not creating him blind. For his blindness was the result of sin. That is one thing the Jews have right, as all evil is. Not his sin, not his parents' sin, but blindness, like all natural evils, including disabilities, is a result of the fall. That doesn't mean God can't use these things and doesn't use these things to reveal his working in the world and his glory. That should be clear that he does to anyone who has spent any time with those with disabilities of various kinds. But such suffering is the result of sin. And so they suffer for sin, for those who do not accept their own cross, and for those who do not or will not see the consequences of their rejection of God's grace. And Jesus says the Father had a reason for creating this man without his sight. And some of the extra-biblical sources even say without eyes. And Jesus makes him a new creation. He rubs mud on the man's eyes, those eyes that were dead, ineffective, useless, or even not there. God formed Adam out of the clay of the earth. And then the man goes to wash. He washes and becomes a new man. The old man inherited from Adam and his sin is washed away. He is given sight, which he never had before, and he steps into the light. In response to the initial question as to the man's identity, whether he was really the man born blind, he says to the crowds, "I am." He uses Jesus' words about himself, God's words of his name in Exodus. But Jesus' words that he uses throughout this Gospel of John when he is claiming his identity as the Son of God. Jesus, in telling this man who he is, says he is the Son of Man. God becomes man that man might become God. The famous principle of Saint Irenaeus. Where before there was nothing, a lack, there is now something that was not, by God's grace. This man becomes a light, an evangelist, a witness. He is. Where there were before something that was not, now he is able to say, "I am." Jesus made him new as God created the first man, when man and the world were new. And then he becomes the center of attention. Whereas before, most everyone would have ignored him and very few would have actually listened when he said something, now everyone wants to hear what he has to say. At first, some try to deny the fact of what happened. He just looks like the man born blind. But then his sight becomes an incontrovertible fact of redemption, of being made new. And they throw him out, but nobody's ignoring him anymore. The Pharisees are questioning him, to listen to him for answers, as they did the 12-year-old boy Jesus, an unlikely teacher, but in the end, they don't want to be taught. What of Jesus? He is the Word of God, the one everyone has been waiting for and studying and proclaiming for the longest time. But many who have ears do not hear. Many who have their sight do not see. They refuse to see him, and they see what they want to see. Jesus identifies himself to Celadonius as the Son of Man. He has taken on the very humanity that is evident in all its fallenness in this man born blind. Jesus is Son of God and Son of Man. He is fully human. And the moment of his glory is the cross. At the Last Supper in this Gospel of John, Jesus prays, "Now, Father, the hour has come to glorify your Son with the glory he had with you before the foundation of the world." In that last chapter before he enters into his passion. What about us? There is a true reversal of places, that Jesus really does suffer in our place for our sins. Not in the Calvinist sense that God just is a wrathful being who wanted to punish somebody, and Jesus stepped in the way and God's bloodlust was satisfied by destroying his Son. No, but that there was a debt to God's justice that Jesus paid in our behalf. Remembering that God's justice is not separate from his love except in our minds. Jesus paid the debt to God's love, the demands of God's love. And so perhaps we should not see God's choice of Saint Celadonius to reveal his works as so unlikely after all. Saint Celadonius suffered for the sin of the world in being born blind, and he was made new through the grace of Jesus Christ, shared in the anticipation of the grace of the resurrection. And if we are to share in the glorification of Jesus, we also must get there through the cross. There is no other way.